I'd like to recite now a 10-minute poem entitled A Lecture on Russian Poetry. I wrote it exactly 20 years ago in the pretty guest room of a girls' college. I won't name the college, it was not Wellesley College. The epigraph is this passage from a letter addressed to the visiting speaker. 5:20 p.m. seems to be the best train, though it stops everywhere and is always full. Miss June Winter of the Department of English will meet you at the station. It is quite a long way. Now comes the speaker. The subject chosen for tonight's discussion is everywhere, though often incomplete. When their basaltic banks become too steep, most rivers use a kind of rapid rushing, and so do children talking in their sleep. My little helper at the magic lantern, insert that slide and let the colored beam project my name or any such like phantom in Slavic characters upon the screen. The other way. I thank you. On Mellow Hills, the Greek, as you remember, fashioned his alphabet from cranes in flight. His arrows crossed the sunset, then the night. Our simple skyline and a taste for timber, the influence of hives and conifers, reshaped the arrows and the borrowed birds. Yes, Sylvia, why do you speak of words when all we want is knowledge nicely browned? Because all hangs together, shape and sound, heather and honey, vessel and content. Not only rainbows, every line is bent, and skulls and seeds and all good worlds are round like Russian verse, like our colossal vowels, those painted eggs, those glossy pitcher flowers that swallow whole a golden bumblebee, those shells that hold a thimble and the sea. Next question. Is your prosody like ours? Well, Emmy, our pentameter may seem to foreign ears as if it could not rouse the limp iambus from its Pyrrhic dream. But close your eyes and listen to the line. The melody unwinds, the middle word is marvelously long and serpentine. You hear one beat, but you have also heard the shadow of another. Then the third touches the gong, and then the fourth one sighs. It makes a very fascinating noise. It opens slowly like a grayish rose in pedagogic films of long ago. The rhyme is the line's birthday, as you know, and there are certain customary twins in Russian as in other tongues. For instance, love automatically rhymes with blood, nature with liberty, sadness with distance, humane with everlasting, prince with mud, moon with a multitude of words, but sun and song and wind and life and death with none. Beyond the seas, where I have lost a scepter, I hear the neighing of my dappled nouns, soft participles coming down the steps, treading on leaves, trailing their rustling gowns, and liquid verbs in Ala and in Ely, Aeonian grottos, nights in the Altai, black pools of sound with L's for water lilies, the empty glass I touched is tinkling still, but now 'tis covered by a hand and dies. Trees, animals, your favorite precious stone, the birch tree, Cynthia, the fir tree, Joan, like a small caterpillar on its thread, my heart keeps dangling from a leaf long dead, but hanging still, and still I see the slender white birch that stands on tiptoe in the wind, and firs beginning where the garden ends, the evening ember glowing through their cinders. Among the animals that haunt our verse, that bird of bards, regale of night, comes first. Scores of locutions mimicking its throat render its every whistling, bubbling, bursting flute-light or cuckoo-light or ghost-light note, but lapidary epithets are few. We do not deal in universal rubies. The angle and the glitter are subdued. Our riches lie concealed. We never light the jeweler's window in the rainy night. My back is argus-eyed. I live in danger. False shadows turn to track me as I pass, and wearing beards, disguised as secret agents, creep in to blot the freshly written page and read the blotter in the looking glass. And in the dark, under my bedroom window, until with a chill whir and shiver, day presses its starter, warily they linger, or silently approach the door and ring the bell of memory and run away. Let me allude, before the spell is broken, to Pushkin, rocking in his coach. On long and lonely roads he dozed, then he awoke, undid the collar of his traveling cloak, and yawned and listened to the driver's song. Amorphous sallow bushes called the rakiti, enormous clouds above an endless plain, songline and skyline endlessly repeated, the smell of grass and leather in the rain, and then the sob, the syncope Nekrasov, the panting syllables that climb and climb, obsessively repetitive and rasping, dearer to some than any other rhyme, and lovers meeting in a tangled garden, dreaming of mankind, of untrammeled life, mingling their longings in the moonlit garden, where trees and hearts are larger than in life. This passion for expansion you may follow throughout our poetry. We want the mole to be a lynx or turn into a swallow by some sublime mutation of the soul, but to unneeded symbols consecrated, escorted by a vaguely infantile path for bare feet, our roads were always fated to lead into the silence of exile. Had I more time tonight, I would unfold the whole amazing story, New Kluja, Nivanashima, but I have to go. What did I say under my breath? I spoke to a blind songbird, hidden in a hat, safe from my thumbs and from the eggs I broke into the gibbous, brimming with their yolk. And I must remind you, in conclusion, that I am followed everywhere, and that space is collapsible, although the bounty of memory is often incomplete. Once in a dusty place in Mora County, half town, half desert, dump mound and mesquite, and once in West Virginia, a muddy red road between an orchard and a veil of tepid rain, it came, that sudden shudder, a Russian something that I could inhale but could not see. Some rapid words were uttered, and then the child slept on. The door was shut. The conjurer collects his poor belongings, the coloured handkerchief, the magic rope, the double-bottomed rhymes, the cage, the song. You tell him of the passes you detected. The mystery remains intact. The check comes forward in its smiling envelope. How would you say delightful talk in Russian? How would you say good night? Oh, that would be бессонница, твой взор уныл и страшен, любовь моя отступника прости. Insomnia, your stare is dull and ashen. My love, forgive me this apostasy. Let me now read my last poem of tonight, which is a short little thing written by Humbert Humbert, one of our favorite characters, and it comes from the novel Lolita, and it was written after Lolita's disappearance. Wanted, wanted, Dolores Hayes, hair brown, lips scarlet, age 5,300 days, profession none or starlet. Where are you hiding, Dolores Hayes? Why are you hiding, darling? I talk in a daze, I walk in a maze. I cannot get out, said the starling. Where are you riding, Dolores Hayes? What make is the magic carpet? Is a cream cougar the present craze? And where are you parked, my carpet? Who is your hero, Dolores Hayes? Still one of those blue-caped starmen? Oh, the balmy days and the palmy bays and the cars and the bars, my Carmen. Oh, Dolores, that jukebox hurts. Are you still dancing, darling? Both in worn Levi's, both in torn T-shirts, and I in my corner snarling. Happy, happy is gnarled McFate, touring the States with a child wife, plowing his molly in every state among the protected wildlife. My dolly, my folly, her eyes were there and never closed when I kissed her. Do you know an old perfume called Soleil Vert? Are you from Paris, mister? L'autre soir, à l'air froid d'opéra Malita, son fêlé, bien folé qui s'y fit. Il neige, le décor s'écroule, Lolita, Lolita, qu'ai-je fait de ta vie? Dying, dying, Lolita Hayes, of hate and remorse I'm dying, and again my hairy fist I raise, and again I hear you crying. Officer, officer, there they go, in the rain where the lighted stories, and her socks are white, and I love her so, and her name is Hayes, Dolores. Officer, officer, there they are, Dolores Hayes and her lover. Whip out your gun and follow that car. Now tumble out and take cover. Wanted, wanted, Dolores Hayes, her dream grey gaze never flinches. 90 pounds is all she weighs, with a height of 60 inches. My hot car is limping, Lolita Hayes, and the last long lap is the hardest, and I shall be dumped where the weed decays, and the wraith rest is rust and stardust.